Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook/The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So, hello. Well, here I am. I'm sitting in Seattle Airport. So, there's going to be some noises in the background and some announcements coming through. So, we're going to sort of just go with that because I thought it'd be great as I'm feeling inspired to share a story right now that a story of hope that really. As I'm here today thinking about my life, jumping on a plane, I had to get up at 3:45 this morning. I don't like those early flights. Typically, I like my flights out around 11 so I can get up and have a shake and, you know, enjoy the morning. But those early flights where you're 3:45, ugh, yucky. Anyway, took the flight, landed in Seattle around 7. And here I am just waiting for my flight to New York. What a wonderful town. I just got in there to do a program. And then before the end of the program, I've got two friends coming in, Travis and Eric, who are coming in to run the last day of the program so I can adios to Bali, Indonesia. And so I'm going to take this recorder with me and bring you with me. I want to share this, share some adventures, what's going on, the walkabout that we're going to do. Jen and I are going to go on a little trip. But we're actually going to a wedding. And the primary reason of the wedding is what I'm feeling about this morning. I was just chatting with Jen, and she was inspiring me by her gratitude and really making me think deeply about gratitude and unconditional love. And the story of the couple who are getting married, their names are Nick and Eve. And Nick is Scottish, and Eve is British. She's a doctor. And not very many months ago, Nick was on the back of a vehicle with another guy. And the person driving the vehicle is driving too fast. It's at night. There was a couple of drinks involved, so you know, people are laughing and joking and having a fun time. I wasn't there, so I can't say exactly what was going on. But anyway, so these guys get bounced off the back of this truck. One is airlifted out the hospital right away and actually dies. And Nick is, because there's only one helicopter, he's kept there for a while and has sustained a massive brain injury. Now, where Eve was at the time, she was in Bali organizing the wedding that we're going to. So, you know, how did that happen, that this guy is laying there in the dark with a massive, massive head injury? He's taken to hospital. He's in a coma for 2-3 weeks. And his brain is swelling, I mean, to just an enormous amount, to the point where... they actually have to remove the frontal skull and the right temple permanently. It's never been put back. He has some plates been put in now. But what I'm fascinated with, I was over in Perth at the time, and they live in Australia. And when he was in, he'd only been in the hospital for a very short time and wasn't able to eat. He'd come out of the coma. So I was there probably 4 or 5 weeks after the accident. And so I took him some shakes because the shakes I use every day are awesome and so full of, the right kind of nutrients for the body. And so took that over to Eve. And as I'm sitting there in the hospital and looking at this woman who is so incredibly strong and obviously working as she does as a doctor, I mean, obviously they see and deal with things every single day that maybe some of us don't get to see every day. But there's a... there's a, I can see the belief in her eyes and this unconditional love. And, you know, I mean, she was over planning a wedding. There, her husband is in a deep coma and being told by everyone and her knowing because of her background with being in the medical profession that the kind of injury that Nick sustained was one of those injuries that really, I mean, the chances of coming out, I mean, we're talking about anything could have happened, blindness, you know, not being able to speak, you know, being put back, you know, many, many years. And when he came out of the coma, that's exactly what had happened. You know, he was had the exuberance of a young boy, totally no inhibitions, and you know, woke up and said, okay, let's go home. And she said, he doesn't even know where home is. And there's lots of things he couldn't remember and many, many things. And, you know, was in that sort of, well, let's go. And, of course, he couldn't leave the hospital. But, you know, being on this end of it, especially, you know, all the guests coming from different parts of the world, we're flying in from Canada. That's a 15-hour flight. And, you know, this decision of Eve to believe that Nick would not only get through it, but would be walking down the aisle at the beach in Bali in, you know, a few months later, really. And so, you know, it's June right now. And, yeah, just a remarkable, remarkable decision, I think, to hold that course. And everyone's asking the question. We were asking the question. You know, is she going to cancel? Why wouldn't she cancel? You know, and Nick's in the park, you know, running around like a little kid. He has a helmet on his head, you know, and he's just in this place where anyone who loves him, parents were there, you know, see that this is a different person. Same person, obviously, but different, exhibiting different emotions, a different way of being. And yet Eve could see in that and she even said it to me when we were sitting there in the hospital. She said, you know, she said, Nick is such a beautiful person and such an amazing man and such a bright individual and so passionate about life. She said, even if he came back, even if he didn't come back all the way, he would still be incredible. And there was a long way to come back. And so, you know, here he is, 6 months later. He's fully back at work. And there's some short memory things that he's dealing with, I believe. And I won't see him for another week. So, you know, I'm really excited about this. But I'm more moved by this unconditional aspect of the love and the belief. And both his belief, because he didn't know really what had happened. And so he just believed he was going home, everything would be fine, and, you know, and that, you know, that's where he was at. But Eve had to believe and hold the course. She still had to go to work. She was there at the hospital and watching the man that she loved, who she was engaged to and ready to and planning the wedding of, where everyone who was involved was investing a lot of time and money to be there. Just believing that he would not only come through it, but would come through it, and that they would, that he would come through it and be fine. And, you know, I think back to a time when I lived in Israel. I lived I worked on a kibbutz for a short time called Shvayim, and I may have shared a part of this story before, but, you know, this I fell off of a roof one night. And I broke all the bones in the right side of my face. I fell down onto concrete, and it was New Year's Eve. We'd been drinking. We were goofing around. Anyway, all I remember was laying actually on the way to the hospital, they thought I'd sustained a brain injury, and they were doing all these tests. But because everyone's speaking Hebrew, and my Hebrew was, I mean, I could speak a few words, but I certainly wasn't fluent. And laying in that, in the operating room, not knowing anyone. I was in a country where I didn't know anyone. I just remember that feeling of dread. And I remember this vanity of mine at the time, because this would have been in 1984. And I was, the doctor told me that I would wake up and I'd have a scar right across my face. And because they had to go in and break, I broke all the bones in the right side of my face. And so I remember laying there. I remember a tear coming out the corner of my eye. You know, I was 84, you know, 20, 25, what is that, 84 and 90, 216. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. 28 years ago. How crazy is that? So, you know, a young man. But I was, you know, I didn't know anyone, and I was going for this surgery and blah, blah, blah. So although I can't understand what Nick went through, there was a moment of I can identify just with that feeling of the unknown. For me, and I was in my body, and I was aware of it. And it wasn't, but Eve was, and she knew really, really from a completely medical standpoint what was going on inside his head. And inside his head, she knew that the chances this would have to be a miracle for him to come back the way he has. And everyone says, or everyone involved talks about it in those terms, that this is just a remarkable. A remarkable thing of humanity that exists in all of us. This belief, this unconditional love, this you know, not accepting the circumstances, but really, really believing and focusing on the future, focusing on that wedding. And in some ways, you know, as I'm planning, I'm flying to New York. I'm going to be there for 3 days and then flying off to Bali for this wedding. You know, I feel very emotional as I think about this commitment and the power of the human spirit and the fact that that date stayed set and that they knew that everything would be fine for that date is just a remarkable story. So, you know, I think of unconditional love. I know, you know, the other thing I've often said, you know, unconditional love is experienced when you have a puppy. If you're kind to that puppy and you don't start over training it and yelling at it, you know, that unconditional love can be exuded. You can see in a dog for its whole life. Obviously, dogs that are overhandled, you see that start to disappear. And that unconditional love in a young baby, and of course, as our kids grow up, we start to see that it's still there, but in a different form. So when we see it in an adult. Who is both practical and experienced and understands the all of the details in such a way, but still holds that core, still drives a stake in the ground and says, guess what, we're going to be there, and yes, we're going to get married, and yes, our love will survive this massive setback, even though everyone and all the indicators say differently. We believe. And so my I tip my hat to Eve, and I remember as I sat in the hospital with her and seeing both the strength and deep down inside there was uncertainty in a sense of, you know, we don't know, but we're going to believe. You know, there was that decision of a calculation that had to be made, saying, well, we look at all the odds, it's going to be this. However, I choose to ignore those odds and believe in this. So, you know, and all of the guys I work with, everyone I've had on the podcast, you know, you'll be hearing from my good friend Mike Dooley soon. And Mike is, you know, who's on his Notes from the Universe, and he was a featured guest on The Secret. And Mike, you know, he talks about thoughts become things, literally. Any thought. It's a great, you listen, when I chat with Mike, we're very, very good friends. And every time I chat with him, you know, he just believes in this stuff. And so, you know, as I look at my own thought patterns and really what conducts the course of my life, you know, and how, again, if I go back to Mike's philosophy, thoughts become things, all thoughts become things. And it's this literal way of thinking, and the hows are none of our business. So, you know, when we focus on those things that we want and don't concern ourselves with the hows, or, you know, and Nick and Eve, they focused on this wedding being a reality and not the hows. How would he come back? How would he... his brain come back to normal, his memory come back, his function come back, his all these different things. And I do believe he's lost his taste. I believe that's it's either one of his senses. I know that has been lost in this endeavor and a little bit of memory there. But again, So as you go about today, you know, there's that real chance for you to sort of get in touch with that place, that little voice. I always call it the imposter. If it's negative, any negative conversation, any self-doubt, any part of our mind that wanders into the recesses of doubt. Isn't that a great term? Wanders into the recesses of doubt. I should write that down. Somebody else write it down and send it to me because I'll forget. wasn't it awesome? I'm sitting here all this time and this is the first announcement coming through on the Tannoy. And I always think that, you know, the universe is divine. Maybe that's my cue to shut up. But, you know, this thing then of the imposter, this negative voice in our head, the understanding that our higher self, who we were born to be, and our conditioned mind, who we've learned to be, these two characters in our head, and the fact that, you know, when we drown out, or when we use, and I teach some different techniques for drowning out the imposter, you know, this negative voice, and it really is a conscious choice, because some people, and you see it, I see it in the way they walk, the way they speak. There's a great saying, how I do anything is how I do everything. I am so subscribed to that, and the reason I subscribe to that is because when I was doing I invested a lot of time and money in my own personal journey. When I first started, before I even really wanted to do this work, before I was clear of that, I just started to invest that time and money into the journey. And I remember I worked with one teacher, and I can't remember his name now, but he was recommended to me. Someone said, you got to see this guy. And so I'm thinking, sure, that's all right, I'll do that. And this guy worked on Venice Beach in California. And when I went there, I didn't know much about him. And as soon as I met him, he kind of shook my hand. He says, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to go down to there's a roller skating rental place right on Venice Beach. He said, go down there, rent some rollerblades, put them on. He said, I'm going to film you, and I'm going to ignore you. You just carry on like I'm not here. I'm thinking, okay, cuckoo, cuckoo. This is a little wacky, I'm thinking. Anyway, so I wander off and I go up to the rental place. I rent the skates, and they give me, you know, wrist pads and knee pads and elbow pads, and I proceed to put them on, and then we go skating. And this guy skates and films me, and you know, we do different things. We skate for 35, 40 minutes, and then we go back. And in his car, he has this television set up, this little TV screen. And he plugs in this VCR camera thing into the TV, and he rewinds, and he proceeds to tell me everything about my life by watching how I rented the skates, how I put them on, what risks I took, the way I put things on. I remember he talked about that, you know, this trust in myself, the way I laced my I didn't look at them. And he went through all these kind of nuances, which at the time, you know, when I sat in the car, I thought, this is really wacky. However, as he talked about me and my life and how I do things, I realized that he nailed everything about my life, everything about how I think in such degrees. I mean, it was finite. It was such a small thing. And so when I say how you do anything is how you do everything, it's really great if we can start to observe ourselves, or myself, and this is what I do, is how am I doing this? You know, and so how do you do anything? How do you get out of bed? How do you shower? How do you, you know, how do you make food? How do you, all everything you do will tell you a lot about who you're being right now. And what's great is once I become aware of that, and I started to focus on that, I realized that I could have a choice about everything I do. And if I bring the same passion, the same fun, the same lightness, the same wonder, the same to everything, whether, I mean, if it's a crappy job, if it's a great job, if I'm having a, you know, if I'm having to do something I don't like. And I often say this, I met a guy one time, and I've been this person when I was traveling around the world. I met a guy who was in a bathroom, and he was one of those guys that hands the towels out and the aftershave and all these kinds of things, and had to be the most positive and most beautiful guy. And I'm thinking, here's a guy who's, you know, running a bathroom, you know, may not be my number one favorite job in the world. But here's a guy who this was what he was doing, and he was brilliant at it. And the tips in the jar, by the way, I mean, there was like this big tip jar, and then people put $10 in there and 15 and 20. And I mean, it was just, you felt compelled because this guy was so engaged in what he did. And I just thought about that. I thought about every aspect of his life. It has to have this same wonder. And I wonder, again, as we go out and as I honor Nick and Eve and as I prepare to get to this wedding, that we start to, or I'm going to focus on, and you guys can decide on what you want to do yourself, this noticing how we do the small things, how we do the mundane things, how I walk past people. I always believe there's the opportunity to communicate without words, just by being present, by noticing, by being fascinated. My favorite words, notice, fascination, curiosity, is as I walk past people, I think about them, and I smile in the corner of my eyes. Not this big goofy, not one of those, but this kind of like this fascination, and of course people notice. And there is a downstroke for this. You know, you go back places and people remember you. So if you ever do something really goofy, that happens to me all the time. I know you. Again, as I prepare to jump on this plane and fly across the country and sort of start my day today, I started a few hours ago, it's with deep gratitude for everything I've got, for my 10 little digits on my hand and my 10 little toes and you know, all my totally imperfect, perfect body. And my, you know, imperfect, perfect thoughts sometimes. And that awareness of myself to catch myself if I start going down a road in thinking that leads nowhere. Or when I'm amplified in negativity, especially towards another person. This is something where, you know, I'll talk about this on another podcast. This idea immediate forgiveness, practicing immediate forgiveness. That's a whole topic unto itself. But that's certainly one of the cornerstones to happiness, I believe. And so, you know, it's, what have we been on? 21 minutes. Look at that. Look at me go. 21 minutes. Sitting here. I you know what I did? This is really funny. I was trying to find somewhere where, I mean, you sit in an airport with gazillions of people around. I could probably see 300 people where I'm sitting. And I'm thinking, you know, you're going to sit here talking into a microphone looking completely goofy. And people keep walking by, and there's a doorway right in front of me where I'm sitting, and all the people who are working on the tarmac, they come through, and each one of them looks up, and because I'm talking about something rich or deeper part, or I think it's rich, and they got a little look of, oh, cuckoo. Anyway, so what I did was I went and took one of the stools from behind the counter where the ladies take your tickets. And I'm sitting on one of these bouncy stools looking out across the tarmac here. In wonder, I can see the mountains around Seattle. And Seattle is such a pretty area. And I always wonder, have you ever wondered when you look up in the sky? I mean, I do this a lot because I fly so much. Every time I see a plane, I always wonder who's on board and where are they going? What adventure are they on right now? And you know, going to visit friends or family or loved ones or the birth of a child or an anniversary or a wedding in Bali. But there's these wonderful, you know, things flying through the sky full of people off somewhere. And typically when they're flying somewhere, you know, unless it's emergency, you know, most people, and it's not business, you know, but they're going somewhere and there's an adventure about to begin. And this adventure that I'm about to begin, I'm excited that you're going to come along and be a part of it. And I'm really excited to have this portable recorder and be able to sort of sit down anywhere I feel and have a yak. And, of course, Thursday's my day. Thursday's the day where I get to chat with you on my own and just share what's going on. And incredibly, you know, there has to be a little self-doubt sometimes in your mind thinking, you know, you don't do this. Is anyone really going to listen? Who wants to sit and listen to this nonsense? But truthfully, I've been watching the analytics, and I'm really grateful for those of you that are tuning in regularly. And we're now in 84 countries, and that's what yesterday when I checked, 84 countries. And I know in the last podcast I went through some of them, and I nodded to some friends and said hi. And to this morning, I'm going to send some gratitude out to Jen, the lovely lady in my life, and and thank her for the inspiration this morning to share this story of Nick and Eve. And again, my heart is filled, another new word in my dictionary, but my heart is filled with unconditional love and for humanity. You know, this totally imperfect world we live in with totally imperfect people. And it's funny, you know, watching people as I do when I travel. I love airports. Sometimes I follow people. If I see someone really interesting and I got time, I'll kind of wander along and I'll go and sit next to them, especially if there's stuff going on. You see anxiety, fears, you see, you know, anger, you see frustration, you see love, you see fun, curiosity, you know, crazy kids or, you know, totally out there. And, you know, there's this, in fact, when I got off the plane today, Seattle's got this weird, weird way of, you know, you land and you have to go up to through customs and clear customs. And, you know, I have to climb this huge set of stairs, which for some of these older people is pretty tough. And this little old lady falls over and she does one of these big rolls right in front of us. And oh, what's great was she's sitting there, she's stunned for a while, and everyone's like, you know, and the security comes, and the, you know, the medics being called, and this is a woman who was meant to be in a wheelchair, and she couldn't see it, so she started walking up these stairs on her own. But I remember as I walked by her, I looked at her, and I gave her a big smile, and everyone else was kind of invested in her pain and what's wrong, and shock and awe, and she just stopped, and she looked, and she gave me one of these big, big, big smiles in this kind of moment. And I'm thinking, you know what? You know, just again, just focusing on that human connection that's possible for all of us. So I'm about to go in and check in as far as check in for the flight. So I'm going to get off of here in a couple of seconds. So as I do, I want to encourage you to share this. Share these great interviews that are coming up. I know, as I mentioned, we've got so many phenomenal people, and more who are actually asking now. They want to be a part of it because they can see, you know, the success. And really, one of the things that would really help, if you can take the time, is to write a review, is to go to iTunes and write a review and actually subscribe. Then it comes straight to your inbox and it will tell you, you know, the next one that comes out. And you have to listen to them all. I mean, some of you will and some of you won't. For when the guests come on and there are people that you really are inspired by, then that's awesome. And we've got some great news coming as well as far as expanding this network. I'll tell you about that soon. But one of my good, really, really close friends, who's just a remarkable human being and one of the most intelligent and has a faith that's so deep, core down to the bone, he's going to be joining the network and running his own podcast under the Kick-Ass Life. And we're going to be adding a few more like that, you know. And it's, I suppose the way to think about it is, if you think about Oprah and you think about Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, well, I'm not trying to align myself with Oprah, but of course, you know, I mean, there's a space here that obviously people are engaged by. And so to create, you know, people who have a different way of seeing the world. And this is a guy, we're close friends, and I'll tell you about him soon. I just want to make sure we're setting him up. We're getting him ready, getting him going. So within the network, there's going to be additional players coming on with their own. So each day of the week, we'll have people coming to you that'll bring their own spin on this incredible world, on living a kick-ass life. You know, loving in a kick-ass way, you know, having kick-ass wealth, having, you know, the kick-ass faith, you know, and really all the different ways that we can express kick-ass, you know. And by the way, I mentioned this on a few of the podcasts, the deep belief I have in this brand, and in the expression of who I am and what I want to bring to the world. And I just really, really feel at home in this brand, and I'm really loving it. I'm loving the expression of this, and I'm loving connecting in this way with more and more of the people, students of mine, and people I don't know. As many of you are listening in now, as I watch these countries start to tick. England's doing crazy, by the way. And so, you know, and all over England, because I can see every part, every city where things are being downloaded. I can see those analytics. And imagine in all these different parts, in China's doing crazy, in China. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, who's listening in China? So if you're in China right now, and obviously you're listening to this because there's so many of you listening, what I want you to do is I want you to go to my Facebook And you can go to The Kick-Ass Life on Facebook. So just facebook.com/The Kick-Ass Life. And I want you to talk to me. Tell me something. Tell me what's going on. Tell me if you're English speaking or if you just, you know, I talk too fast and, you know, and all those different things. And I love China. I had so much fun there. And one of the places I visited was Guilin. And I went on a little walkabout. I'll tell you about that another day. I keep promising all these stories. But, you know, as I say, we're coming up to 30 minutes here, and I'm going to keep this a short one because I'm going to join this flight. So deep gratitude, deep love and faith in humanity and in what's possible in the unseen, knowing that the miracles of the world exist only in our belief system, and the fact that whatever we can believe, and what those great lines, whatever the mind of man can see and believe, he can achieve. And truly that today, you know, put a stake in the ground somewhere in your life to say, hey, this is how it's going to be. My kick-ass life, you saying that to yourself, this is what my kick-ass life is going to feel like, look like, be like. And the hows don't matter. In fact, the hows have got nothing to do with you. You have nothing. The universe will conspire to help you. And I truly believe that. But it's not always pretty. It's not always going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. And that's what I love. I love these things now. And I've got so in tune with this because adversity has this magical way of being exactly what you need when you need it. But in the moment it happens, how do you know? So, you know, people get all wigged out by it and they take it as a devastation. They take it as a setback. Whereas really what adversity is, it's there as part of the journey. And when we don't accept it as adversity, it doesn't become adversity. It's just something that happens. So what? So I know it can sound glib if it's not happening to you, but guess what? If you watch anyone who practices this philosophy, and when adversity comes, and we see it all the time, I love it with people like, you know, Nick Wojcik's a great guy. If you haven't seen him on YouTube, I use his videos sometimes. No arms, no legs, you know, went through life. In fact, I want to get him on. If anyone knows Nick, I've been trying to contact him to get him on the show. I'd love to have him on as a guest. So any of you out there know Nick, or any of you have somebody that you know is a great story, they don't have to be famous, just a great, great story. You want me to interview him? You know, go to Facebook, let me know, and we'll talk to him, right? But again, getting back to this philosophy, you know, a paraplegic, a quadriplegic, there are different ways of addressing those kind of things that happen. You know, Rick Hansen, the Man in Motion, you know, when he was hitchhiking, broke his back, lost the ability to lose his legs. What did he do? He went on a trip around the world in his wheelchair and changed the world, changed awareness about what was possible when people look at someone with that kind of a disability, if that's the right word. And so, you know, the idea then, adversity, within adversity is the magic source. And in the moment, it's hard to understand. And I always say for myself now, when things happen, it's like, that's why I don't worry about stuff. It's like, yeah, guess what? It happened. What do you do now? You know, and there's that great line, and I'll teach on this, and it's a great way to end the call. I keep tempting to end this call, but I'm having too much fun. And my mind, as you know, for those of you that notice, I have a little squirrel in my head, and it runs all over the place. You know, oh, look at that. Oh, shiny object. Well, that's true. Squirrel. But, you know, there's this great, great analogy that, and I ask people all the time, I say, hey, you know, do you believe the universe is on purpose? And when I use the word universe, as you know, you can turn it to God or Buddha or Allah or however you express your faith. Do you believe that the universe is on purpose? Everyone says, yeah. Then why do we worry about anything? If it's all meant to be happening, then why worry about it? So the idea then is if an event happens, something happens, you were in a car accident, you know, you win the lottery, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be, let's say, a negative event. You know, you become a paraplegic. Ah. You know, and there are millions of people, and I've met some, I've shared stories about some, that when that happens to them, they wake up and decide in the moment, like Nick and Eve, that, okay, it's all right, it's happened, but what do we do? We're going to either create a story about it, a story that's positive and purposeful and leading us forward, or we're going to create a negative story about it. So the event happens, story, a negative story, we have a problem. And the energy around the problem is magnified, and then it becomes this darkness in there. Then we have the same event, no story, no problem, or a positive story, no problem. I mean, a guy who I was reading about a guy the other day who did this, you know, who lost his ability to walk, ended up in the Olympics. There's no way when he had legs he'd ever be in the Olympics. And I hear it time and time and time again. And we heard it with Marcy Shymoff when I interviewed her, and she told the story of the lady that lost her sight. If you haven't listened to that interview on happiness, you've got to listen to it. It's amazing. I love Marcy. She is so much fun. Anyway, she talked about the woman who put eye drops in her eyes with lye in them, and she ended up losing a sight in both eyes because some idiot had laced the eye drops with lye. Anyway, after when she ended up going to the Olympics, she ended up just fulfilling her dreams. And the line that Marcy used, she said, and what she told me that this was one of the happiest persons she's ever met, next to the Dalai Lama. If you listen to the interview, it's so cool. But she said, you know, the woman turned around and said, "Hey, I may have lost my sight, but I gained my vision, and I never regret for a moment the day that I lost my sight." Ladies and gentlemen, that's where it's all at. That's what a kick-ass life's all about. So, hey, I'm going to go join a flight. So if you look up today and you see this little metal object going through the sky, just think about me sitting up there, sipping on a gin and tonic, eating some peanuts with a big smile on my face as I think about Nick and Eve.
That was kick-ass.